This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I think of a lot. One, Shrek, when I hear this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing. And then that's
someone can know your age just by saying that.
I mean, I know it's Smash Mouth, but like, I think of Shrek pretty quickly.
All right,
when I hear
that. Didn't that lead singer die? The lead singer Smash Mouth?
I think you might be right.
Oh, boy. I hope I didn't.
I think you're right.
Pre-kill him.
You want to double check on that one? You want to double check?
Hold on.
Triple check.
Something, right?
Drew played it, so there must have been a reason. Was there were you listening to Smash Mouth this weekend or something?
No.
I haven't heard that on this show in a bit.
March Madness, we're going to talk about some brackets. People still believe in their brackets, you know?
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Steve Harwell.
Let's talk brackets.
I'm not believing in mine anymore, I can tell you that much.
We'll get to our bracket challenge in a second. We'll get to it in a second, because I'll say
this. I have no idea where I'm at, but I know it's bad.
I looked just during the break, because we'll go through our top five listeners right now, plus just us, but I did take a peek at the bottom 10. Drew.
You're Mr. College Basketball on this show.
So we'll get to it. Look, brackets are a crapshoot. There's also plenty of time to make up some ground, although I think you might be permanently screwed.
I think I'm toast, yes.
When you're already in the bottom 10. But we'll get to that in a second.
Make up ground.
Overall, though, we started the show just talking about, you know, some of the lack of upsets and all that. But what do you guys make of what's left? We know Thursday the action picks back up, and we can get into like the matchups that excite us the most. The biggest surprise, of course, is 10 seed Arkansas that's around. And I'll say this, Coach Cal, you have to give him a ton of credit because they were 0-5 in SEC play. He was getting criticized like no other during the season, and it was warranted. And to me, even against Kansas blew that game more than Arkansas won it. And then what do? The next game, they go and beat St. John's, who's, yes, inconsistent.
And we're in control in that game.
Coach Cal in his first year has Arkansas in a Sweet 16. And I know Arkansas is a program. It's not like they've been dog crap. I mean, Eric Musselman got them to Sweet 16s, and I think an Elite Eight. I know Musselman beat Kansas last year, whatever, and took his shirt off and all that whole thing. So it's not like Arkansas has been out of the Sweet 16 for years and years and years. But
immediately make him feel good about that hire.
And they get Texas Tech, you know, Texas Tech who looked really good. And they still haven't had one of their best players play yet. I don't know if he's going to play in the tournament or not, but McCollum.
Yeah, one of the things that I think stands out the most is that, I mean, look, I don't think we can go into this without being like, okay, well, the SEC was the best conference going into it and was clearly the best conference in college basketball this year. Is it a one-year thing, or is the SEC getting ready to take over college basketball too?
Yeah, it's a cyclical
because of resources.
Thing.
The Big 12, the Big 10, they've all had their years. The Big 12 consistently.
Big 10's been great this year, too.
It also has been very good. Obviously, Michigan is still in there for them. Is the only Big 12 team left Arizona?
Houston.
Owen Houston.
BYU.
Still got two. Oh, BYU.
Remember, there's, now there's more because it's a new look. New look Big 12. Yeah, so there's
God, I can't even. BYU, it never computes that they're a Big 12 team. Yeah, sure, you know.
The matchup BYU. That, I'll be honest, the matchup that intrigues me the most, just from stylistically and everything going into it, is honestly going to be the first game on Thursday. And it's the BYU-Alabama game. We've talked about BYU.
Is that game 110 to 108?
That's why I'm excited. It's the highest total by far. 174.5 is where it opens up at right now.
I kind of like the over somehow.
Yeah, and it's because of that's why it's my most, like, the matchup I'm excited about the most. Because BYU, we know they can score. They want to get up and score. Alabama wants to score. Their defense is not very good. Like, there will be points. BYU's an underdog in the game, by the way, if you're wondering. We'll do more of that kind of stuff on Thursday, or on Wednesday, I guess, since Thursday's opening day. But BYU-Bama could be the fun game, like the really fun matchup. I don't know if it'll be the buzzer beater or anything, but I think just from points, that's the game you're going to get points, whereas like a game like Purdue-Houston is boring to me.
Kentucky-Tennessee is probably next on the list for me. Kentucky had to battle a little bit, but then ended up winning, you know, like felt comfortable in the last seconds there of the game. And Tennessee is just like one of those teams I never took seriously to go deep in this tournament for whatever
reason.
They've never made it to a Final Four. I was like, what? Plus, I had Kentucky in my Final Four, so obviously I'm keeping a close eye on that matchup. As bad as my bracket has been, I had to look because I was like, oh, yeah, God, I'm ranked in like the 200s. And I was like, oh, my God, Drew's lower than me.
So
I'm in the bottom like 25%. Here we go. Drew's lower than me, and I want to defend myself at least for like,
it's not over yet.
Have I been bad at picking games? Quite. Do I still have 7 of my 8 Elite Eight teams and all 4 of my Final Four teams in? I do.
Yes, you have
a chance. So my Elite Eight still like alive and kicking.
All right, so I guess we can start with us, then we can get to the listener one. So if you're just wondering where we are on the show, what spot do you sure say you're in?
238 out of like 300. So not good.
All right, I'm 102, which isn't great, but I just like you, I have my Final Four intact, and I have all but one Elite Eight team. All but one Elite Eight team still around.
I had St. John's
because you have to go by your maximum points remaining, and mine is like 170 or 172. So that's why there's still some wiggle room. Drew, what happened?
Like 250? Is that right?
What happened, Drew?
I'm hitting the next button. I got to keep hitting a couple pages.
Louisville happened the first game of the tournament, which
I'm still clicking. Hold on, I'm still clicking.
Go to the last page.
Nope, I got to keep clicking. Going to next. It's going to be the last page though. Next,
what happened?
I'm hitting next again. Still next. Nate Taylor also not doing good. Just saw his name pop up at the bottom. Here we go. Drew, you are
his champion. Still alive.
You picked Florida. Final Four still alive. Your maximum points remaining is 127. If everything goes perfect, you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You are 10th worst. What happened?
Nice. I think overthinking it as well as letting you guys convince me that Wisconsin was going to go to the.
I said support Wisconsin.
How are you putting Wisconsin? Neither you guys Cody and I did not.
True. You guys convinced me at the last second.
Let him finish for a second.
I'll go back and I'll find the audio. Cody said, go ahead and back your guys. And then you said, why not? Go ahead. And then I picked him to go to the Final Four.
You still make a choice. It's your alma mater. Here's why you can't blame.
Excuse Gonzaga.
Here's why you can't blame us, because it wasn't just one mistake. And in my bracket, I think I speak for Cody, I had Wisconsin losing to BYU in the second round. So obviously, I didn't believe in Wisconsin. Correct. So I don't know why this is my fault.
I do think that, in fairness to myself, if Gonzaga beat Houston, that one game alone, I think single-handedly could totally flip flip on things. Which, again, is all the tournament.
So, listener-wise, last place right now, with a possible of 105 remaining, Andrew B. Now, he picked Florida. But Andrew
still got his champion?
Yeah, but the rest might have been a disaster. Rams G, possible points remaining. I think this is actually the worst bracket. 74 points remaining.
Dang.
He had Iowa State winning it all. He or she had Iowa State winning it all. Then Josh A has Auburn winning it all. And then Tyler D. Those are like the bottom four or five listener-wise in our entire bracket pool. Now, we'll give some shout out on the flip side. There's some people that have impressive brackets in our Cody and Gold Bracket Challenge. Remember, Wings for a Year from Jefferson's, plus a little prize pack up for grabs. Steve W., currently in first. 42 picks correct, 56 points so far. Wow. Max 180 remaining.
Nice.
He's got Houston winning.
Steve?
Jacob E., 55 points, 41 correct, 183 remaining. So actually has more points remaining.
All right.
Max potential. Daniel P. Has Duke winning. He's in third, tied with Jake R. Has Duke winning. They have 41 correct, maximum points 178. So congrats to the listeners. Off to a very good start. We all know this stuff can shift in a hurry based on your final four, but that's where things are sitting at. I did see Nate Taylor's only like six spots higher than you, Drew. So we have to give Nate a hard time next time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a struggle.
I thought he knew
year.
Ball. You know, I thought you both knew ball.
This if you, you
neither of you know
if
ball.
If you attribute how your bracket does to if you know ball or not, then we need to fire Jay Billis. We need to fire all these people.
Brackets are tough, man. Brackets are tough.
You guys are mentioning matchups that you like. If you like star names,
would I be in first place if I just chosen every star matchup names? To win with a higher seed?
I don't know.
If you like star names, Duke Arizona. Is a game for you. Caleb Love, Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I want to see the top two picks in the upcoming NBA draft.
That's Thursday at 8:40, I believe, is the tip-off time. The first game, Thursday, 6:09, is BYU-Alabama. Then we get Maryland-Florida, 1-4. What an ending in that Maryland-Colorado State game.
Oh,
you thought Colorado State had it on a last-second shot, and then as time expired, the true freshman for
one of the
Maryland.
Best starting fives in college hoops.
And then obviously, anytime you get quotes like this, this is when you know it'll just you'll remember it.
I asked everybody. I said, "Who wants the ball?" And he said, "Give me the MF ball." And I said, "All right, you're getting it." And I said, "Don't mess around. Go after it and do it." And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
Can I say that I don't care?
Give me the ball.
And his coach said, and his coach was asked in the press conference setting, they're like, "Hey, did you know that was his first game winner?" And he's like, "If I would have known that, I wouldn't have given him the ball."
He said, "Where'd you get the count?" He said, "I'm from Baltimore."
Yeah.
And also, but just like, I don't care that he traveled. I don't care.
It's still a cool moment.
I don't care. Like, way to ruin a good moment. Travel like that. Don't suck the fun out of it.
He might have taken a third step, but it was an incredible moment. It might have taken a third step, but yeah, I'm good with that.
It's been the best moment of the tournament so far.
Yeah, and I don't think it was egregious either. Like, it wasn't one of those that was like,
wasn't Svi in that game a couple of years ago that we all made fun of.
This one
when he might have taken five steps to the hoop.
This one was much more subjective.
It's not called anywhere.
Yeah, this was much more subjective of a potential travel.
And they never call it at the end of game. We've all agreed that they call less fouls. They call less at the end of the game.
They never call it,
they let
period.
Him play more.
They never call that period.
I don't know if they would have.
It's the gather step, which is kind of taken over the NBA. But yeah, it's the gather.
All right, let's talk about the Royals from a stadium perspective. If you were listening this morning, you heard Fesco give an update on where things stand with the Royals' future stadium site. It's a little bit longer cut, but he explains a little bit more about what he is hearing. Take a listen.
It looks like from everybody you talk to, it seems like it's just about, you know, I's dotted, T's crossed, that this thing's going to be at 119th and Knoll at the Sprint campus. And just, you know, having the conversations with both people in Arizona, people here locally as well, kind of going back and forth and, you know, connecting the dots and all that kind of stuff. People are more and more talking about it like it is happening. You know, like there's no more well if, it's almost like when now it's going to be happening. And the interesting thing about the Sprint campus that I didn't realize and got this information over the weekend, I'm sure you could look it up as well if you wanted to. Do you realize that site is only 10 acres smaller than the sports complex right now where both stadiums are? So 10 acres is not a lot. I mean, that is not a lot. And you're only using it for one stadium. And the stadium is going, from what I've been told, inside where the parking garages are. Do yourself a favor, walk around and take kind of a look of where it is. The parking garage is on the Sprint campus. They're talking about putting the stadium inside, you know, those parking garages. I was told about 3 weeks ago or so, maybe at the beginning of this month, maybe late last month, that the Royals have reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well, wondering what it would take to purchase that land away from the Jay as well. Now, I'm told they don't need that land. They kind of just want it to complete the entire, you know, area that they have there. So I know that they've reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well to find out what it is. And I've also been told from multiple sources that representatives from the state of Kansas were down in Arizona. So, I mean, when you're loading up the big people and they're going to Arizona to have these conversations, it's kind of just a matter of, you know, when, not a matter of if anymore.
So that was the latest from Fesco this morning on Fesco and Dusty. That last part, you and I, we talked off air about. I was sent a photo like a week or two ago. Laura Kelly was at a spring training game for the Royals in Surprise. I don't know. It's probably been 10 days now, at least at this point in time. So that last part, 100%, makes a lot of sense. What do you make of this? We've heard about this site before. I think Bob's been all over this site for at least 4 months at this point, maybe more than that. And he says, you know, it's getting closer and closer maybe to happening. And that this is sounds like the preferred side at this point. A couple things. My initial reaction is one that this tells me that Missouri is leaving them no choice but to leave. We all know the vote, but I'm even talking post-vote. The other part is, I'll be honest, you know, this is not the site that I prefer out of everything. My opinion doesn't matter on that, but
I can listen to us.
They're not. I don't prefer the site. I still don't think it makes a whole lot of sense whatsoever. But with that said, if Missouri is not going to play ball, then what else are they supposed to do? And if this is the best available Kansas site in their mind, then so be it. I don't think the site makes sense for a variety of reasons that we've talked about. That location in general, I just don't, the idea before they were going to have everything built around the ballpark that was theirs, and they were going to then use the revenue from that to help build up the team and all that. Someone's going to have to show me the plan, how that still happens. But it sounds like this is right now the location based on Fesco's reporting that the Royals prefer.
Whichever future rendering comes out could at least make the site itself cool. The things they could plan around it potentially cool. I would hate it going there. This has nothing to do with the Missouri versus Kansas stuff that you and I have been pretty neutral on, I think, even though we both have lived on the opposite side of the state line pretty much this entire time. I've been a Missouri resident pretty much my entire life. You've been a Kansas resident pretty much your entire life. It's not about it being in Kansas. It's that I want downtown baseball. That's what I want the most. And putting it 119th in all doesn't move the needle for me. It's like Town Center already exists. They're not bringing up any new development. Yeah, there will be some new development.
Sure.
But plunking it into a middle of what I already think is not a great area to travel in anyway. Traffic kind of sucks there anyway. I'm going to plunk a stadium down in there and then just hope the rest kind of thrives outside of it. I just don't like it there. Look, I can't tell you where their season ticket base is for the Royals. I imagine it's probably 50-50 like it is for the Chiefs, right? It's 55-45, 50-50, whatever, right? It's close enough to, this is why we live in a state line, about half on the Missouri side.
I believe about, more on Kansas, the Kansas side, yeah, and I think a majority do come from the Johnson County area.
But it's like, you know, it's, you know, like in my opinion, it's negligible-ish or whatever it is, 50-50 or whatever. So, like, I don't think they're losing people getting there. Like, I don't think they lose the atmosphere of the fan by doing it on the Kansas side or anything like that. I just don't like the area. I want downtown baseball. Look, will I blame the Royals if they go there? Will I be like, how did you do this to us? Why are you taking the team there? Not necessarily, because if they can't get a deal done with the city, it makes sense.
And that's what we have to remember.
They actively try to be in Missouri. They went to a vote to stay in Missouri, to have downtown baseball, and it failed miserably. So if they were there, not mad at the Royals, it just doesn't mean I'm not going to like the site, though.
Right, and that is what we have to remember, though. If there was not a deal to be had in either KCMO or just the state of Missouri in general, then you left them few options, right? And I think that if, in fact, this ends up being truly where they go, I think that'll be the biggest reason why. Not just the vote failing, but everything else will be the biggest reason why. And I'll be fascinated to hear what that plan actually is and what it looks like and how close, you know, how close it is to the vision that they wanted before. You know, I'm not saying you can't pivot from your vision, and if municipalities limit you, because of course, you know, you're asking for public money, and so it's going to make things challenging. But you and I are in agreement on just the overall site, that location. You know, you go down Nall to 435, or you got to go all the way up to 119th to get to 69 Highway. I mean, those are the, and I know it's not a Chiefs game. It's not 75,000 people leaving a Royals game. I understand that. But it's interesting. On one hand, I've told you, like, it'd be like 10 minutes from me. Like, on that hand, I'm like, wow, not terrible. But I just don't think the location makes a ton of sense. They obviously do, clearly. You know, it sounds like they're pretty far along, based on Bob's reporting, pretty far along now in this process. It is interesting still. Like, we're still waiting and waiting. At one point, it was like, oh, December they're going to announce. And then it's like, maybe it's mid-April. And then now there's rumblings it could still be mid-summer. It's just like, I think everybody just wants to get a damn answer on this, you know?
Yeah,
but I do think there's a lot of people that, and maybe this is part of the thinking, if you are someone with a family in Johnson County and now you're only 10 or 15 minutes away, are you more likely to go to a Royals game? I think the answer is yes. And if the majority...
Am I less likely to go?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the dynamics that they got to consider.
But that's the balance. They don't care about that. It'll play itself on either side of the state line. People will go. And with a new stadium in the early going, that will be the issue.
Yeah, but you don't build a stadium
for things to do around the stadium, sure, which will make it more likely for people to do.
Right. I mean, in the early going, that it's not about what the attendance for the first 3 years or 5 years. It's the sustainability of it. So I would just say I want to hear, I think you do too, Cody, and sort of our audience, way more if this is in fact where they end up building it. And it's still, that is still hypothetical, even if it sounds like it's getting closer. What does that look like? What's the plan? And what's the difference of the, because I think a big selling point in the reason we were told at the time they needed a new stadium, not only is it an old building, but hey, we're going to have these new revenue opportunities and we're going to put X amount of dollars back into the team and that's going to help sustain our payroll, et cetera. Can you do that if you don't have as much development that you own around it? And I'm not saying maybe let's see what the plan is.
Yeah.
Right now I'm skeptical. That's all.
It's, and I would be skeptical too. And that's part of the appeal of like, hey, we're paying for a new stadium. Yeah. We want to do it. And look, on the other end, if you're in Missouri and they leave, you don't have to pay for it now. So you didn't want to. Now you don't have to.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say the Chiefs made a small move.
Okay.
They brought back Mike Pinnell.
Okay.
They needed some nose tackle help.
We can get into that in the Chiefs case right you saw it,
Mike Pinnell back with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Definitely a minor move, but nice piece, run stuffer. Yeah. Good to have him back.
It's inoffensive.
I was just going to say as far as the Royal stuff, always, whenever we talk stadium, on whether it's news on the Missouri side, news on the Kansas side, you always have to wonder, okay, is somebody trying to leverage somebody else?
Try to force Missouri into a quick action.
And until this thing is signed, I'm always going to be skeptical about that.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. All. Until Penn is on paper, or John Sherman, who I imagine we'll talk Wednesday at the Royals, workout, or maybe Thursday on opening day, until he's like, yeah, I'm going to Kansas.
Yeah. Well, and you and I prefer downtown baseball anyway, so we're on that note. I'll admit we're a little biased on that. I mean, that's pretty obvious, but we'll see. We'll definitely see moving forward. And if there's any new updates on that, we'll keep an eye on that. I know John Sherman will be available to the media, I think, on Wednesday, a day before opening day, and I'm sure he'll be asked about it yet again. Up next, though, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about Mike Pinnell signing a little bit and what free agent signings will end up making the biggest impact in 2024.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Five. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7900. 6-5. So Mike Pinnell, the Chiefs put that out there. It's official. Mike Pinnell back in a Chiefs uniform. Nice veteran piece on the defensive line. Helps him in run plays, run stuffing, I should say. Look, fine, right? Like, fine.
They need defensive line help across the board.
And in the last week, they've brought back Charles Minnehue, and now Mike Pinnell still doesn't change, as we've said over and over, the draft plan, but it just gives them, if they had to play a game tomorrow, they're good to go kind of thing. And I think if you're Mike Pinnell, once again, if the market is what the market is and you're getting the same type of deal somewhere else and the Chiefs want you back, why would you not? We all know he's got local ties in the area anyway. We enjoyed talking
to him. Super nice guy.
Talking to
him
at training camp about ramen. I guess now I need to go to that ramen place before we have training camp. Because if I talk,
Aussie brought some in. It was great.
I was going to say, yeah.
But like we need to make sure we're caught up on all. He suggested a bunch of places though.
That was just one of many.
Yes. Our friend brought us some. He's like, Mike Pinnell. This is he said we didn't know what it was at first, and they're like, ah, that's what he was. Recommended some other ramen places, so got to get them all crossed off before we talk to Pinnell up at a training camp again.
The signing, yeah, it doesn't really. They needed defensive tackle help, although I will say, I don't know if it hurts my chances. I officially have my very first of probably many first-round potential crushes for the Chiefs.
Okay.
And it was at defensive tackle that I have convinced myself this is the perfect fit for the Chiefs. So I don't know if Pinnell moves it to maybe it's not defensive tackle, maybe it's more defensive end. I have fully convinced myself over the weekend through highlight tape watching, Drew, that the guy I wanted for the Chiefs was Derek Harmon from the University of Oregon.
Okay.
He's a big defensive tackle I wanted alongside Chris Jones. So I don't know. I don't know if Pinnell changes that. But that was my very first draft crush this year. I don't know if you guys have started to have one yet for the Chiefs.
Those guys are more pass rushers, though. I don't know if Pinnell takes up
necessarily.
Technically, he takes up a roster spot, but yeah.
The truth of what Gold said is they lost enough defensive linemen that they were going to need rotational defensive linemen in the mix no matter what. That's why it wasn't offensive that they bring back Pinnell or what we talked about, some of these other small moves they've made on defense on the defensive line. And I just like the person. He's been a part of championship teams.
I'm laughing because I just Googled Derek Harmon, your draft crush.
Yeah, no good?
And no. That's not what it is. We've had fun with the strengths and weaknesses that are listed. And
what are his strengths and weaknesses?
This one, like after having the meaty hands one from last week, this one's great. This is real. I'm not making this up. This is from Lance Erline. Twitchy upper body to peekaboo the block and shed to runner's lane's choice.
Classic peekaboo move?
Yeah.
How can we not like this guy?
He's got the peekaboo move. Yeah.
Detroit guy? He's like 300 pounds. Yeah. He's huge and young.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy I want the Chiefs. If they took him in the first round,
where are we coming up with this stuff? I've never heard of someone. He's got the he can do a peekaboo the block. I've never seen that in a strength listed. Have you guys in all these years we've been doing these reading off the strengths?
Peekaboo a block, huh?
Twitch your upper body. I don't know if it just means he can
peekaboo and then goes to the side.
This is why you need to watch the show on video. You should have seen Cody acting out the peekaboo. Make sure you're on Facebook.
I like the idea you guys were like, peekaboo and then goes to the side.
on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, make sure you subscribe for moments like that, you know?
You know, you're missing out. Just in case. Classic. Now I want him even more. Thanks, Lane Zerline.
That's going to be my future question if we have Brett Veach on ever again, like we did during the combine. Is like, so how much do you really look for guys with peekaboo ability on the defensive line? And just want to get his reaction. If he's like, he's either going to be like, "Well, we really love it," or he's going to be like, "Peekaboo ability."
Like, I don't know what that is. Well, that's how someone described it. Uh-huh. Is that how you guys discuss it internally?
Now, any interview now, we have to promise, at training camp, with any defensive line player, we're going to have to bring up how well they think they are at a, you know, twitchy upper body, peekaboo the block.
If they take Harmon and then we get to talk to him at camp, I'm 100% bringing up this article and their description.
I'm saving this link so we have it for
they're gonna think you guys are grinding tape. You guys know how to peekaboo a block.
That's right we do
sure do.
Uh-huh.
This show grinds tape, you know, nothing but grinding tape all the time.
Yeah,
think about more about the Chiefs. That's another free agent signing they just made obviously, and they have been very busy in the I would say small to medium free agency market this year. I asked someone a question over this weekend, and I think they were surprised, or I got asked a question, and I think they were surprised by my answer, which is, hey, which of these free agents do you think is going to have the biggest impact for the team? So I'll bring it to you, 913-586-7965. Because I think most people think your instant answer is going to be Jalen Moore, right? You get better left tackle play, much bigger impact. You know, like, if it's just consistent, how is that not your answer? My actual answer, and still is Christian Fulton. On defense, they were a very, very good defense last year, but they're going to have to do, in my opinion, less with more. They have put more of their offseason resources into the offense. I think they might put more of, you know, and we'll see what they do in the draft. I think they might put more of their draft resources into the offense, which means Christian Fulton immediately becomes everything they need defensively to sort themselves to not miss Justin Reed, to not expose their safeties, to let Trent McDuffie work all over the field. I think the single biggest impact we will feel from any free agent the Chiefs have signed is Christian Fulton, not Jalen Moore.
Yeah, so I get the logic behind it because it allows him to move McDuffie around a little bit and he can play back inside instead of outside. And so that in its own right is going to be huge for them. So that's probably the answer that on the defensive side, no doubt, like could be the biggest change and will lead to much more success in the secondary and not have to rely on Joshua Williams and others as much. Plus, just get the most out of Trent McDuffie's abilities. My answer still will be Jalen Moore, just because it is that vital.
Not like a bad answer. Yeah, it is left tackle.
It is that vital of a position. We know it was the biggest problem with this football team last year. I don't have to go through every little detail again, but Jalen Moore has some upside too. We're going to find out. Should he have been starting if it wasn't for Trent Williams being a future Hall of Famer, or was he being protected by not having to start? And we're going to find out. The Chiefs obviously think for 17 games, he can excel. He can be a left tackle. And there's a slight bit of upside. If he turns out to be even better than everybody thinks, well, then you can give him an extension after year one of this two-year contract, and it looks like an even better move. But Jalen Moore is going to have the largest impact, good or bad, Cody. It could be good or bad, largest impact. I'm hoping it's obviously on the positive side. But
yeah, largest impact, he's got to swing on the negative end.
Either way,
sure,
he will have an impact, not just with his own position, but the entire offense can be worlds different, good or bad, based off of how Jalen Moore plays left tackle in 2025.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm guessing that would be option number two. Like, I'd like it to be, Hollywood Brown. But, like, he's number four on the target depth chart this year when everyone is healthy and playing together. He's behind Rice, Worthy, and Kelsey. He just is. And so, like, there's a limited amount of impact I think you can feel with a player like that just based on where they are. And look, it's never going to be like the backup, like, I'm not going to bring up, but Charles Omenihue, right? Make an argument for Charles Omenihue and the 1 year deal he signed. And once again, on a contract prove it type deal where he's trying to make you feel their version of pain, right? Or some of them might make the argument for Kareem Hunt if they're planning on using him as a starting tight back again. He was certainly probably one of the most impactful free agents they signed last year. That's what makes it such an interesting question to me, because Moore seems like the on surface obvious answer, because, and I still think some of this is recency bias, because we had to watch the way the Super Bowl went. I will say, for bad left tackle play, which they got for most of the year, they got average left tackle play for a little bit of last year. That's why they were a 15-2 team and still had a functional offense. If they were getting at least average left tackle play for a part of that, they would have fallen apart. My question for Moore, even more than like the regular season, is can you hold up against the elite level pass rushers you are likely to see in the postseason? I'm not as worried about getting average left tackle play in the regular season. They got that for part of the regular season last year. It's just once they started going up against the big boys, it got ugly.
And once in May, when the schedule is fully out, we know the opponents, but once we know the order, that'll be something that I'm sure we're all keeping an eye on. You know, how early in the season do we feel like he's getting tested based off of the week 1, 2, 3 opponent? Are they facing some teams with really impressive pass rush early on, or is it going to be a softer start to the schedule for that? We'll have that answer in May. Looking at the opponents that we already know, there'll be plenty of opportunities for him to get tested. But will we get that in week 1 right out of the gate? I'm not so sure. It just depends how you think the schedule's going to go. We know they're not playing, of course, on that big prime Thursday night game, but doesn't mean they're not playing a big opponent on Sunday night football.
We don't even know if they're not playing that Friday night game.
Could be. I doubt it. But yeah, there's
a
chance.
On their schedule.
The Chargers. Yep. That is fair. In Brazil. I don't think they'll do a divisional game, but it's definitely in play. It's the Kansas City Chiefs we're talking about here.
They love getting them in new time slots as much as possible. They played on a Friday last year, didn't they? They played on every day, but Tuesday or Wednesday, or whatever it was.
Yeah. They played on that Black Friday game against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Every day, but Tuesday. They played every day, but Tuesday. Maybe it'll be the Eagles this time, you know?
Yeah. We had our first dad joke of the day on Twitter.
Oh.
Or on Texan, I'm sorry. We were talking about the peekaboo block for your guy. Someone says, do you know where they send you for peekaboo injuries?
No.
The ICU.
Oh boy.
All right.
Oh boy.
Thank you, Texter. Thank you for that one. That one coming in hot on the text line. That sounder.
We don't have enough dads on this show to do dad jokes regularly. We need more than one dad.
The text line We'll have those all day for us, I think. But that sounder means another mock draft has just been released, and that means Drew has found us another one.
Chad Reuter, or Reiter, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Apologies for that.
I think it's Reiter.
Chad Reiter from NFL.com.
It's spread like Reuters, like the AP service.
So you think it's Reuter?
I kind of think it's
Chad Reiter. Okay, yeah. Let's go with Reiter.
Apologies if I'm mispronouncing it wrong. He's never going to know. Chad. But anyway, so Chad's four mock round draft.
Four round mock rounds into these things.
So this is interesting. A lot of national people don't do these where they go multiple rounds. Every now and then Kuiper does one or Jordan Reed or our guy Matt Miller. But
Dane Brugler eventually does his full seven round, but not to the bitter end, it feels like.
Right. Okay. So this is a four round mock. It's for everybody. It's not just the Chiefs, but there is a trade. I know you don't like trades, Gold, but there is a trade.
Cheating this mock draft system.
Actually, I'm sorry. There's multiple trades. That would make you sick to your stomach just looking at it. As soon as you click the link, you'll be like, this is gross seeing how many of these are. Anyways, he's got the Chiefs trading up with the Ravens to 27, not to draft a wide receiver, not to draft a defensive lineman, but to draft an offensive lineman, guard Tyler Booker from Alabama, a new name that we haven't had yet.
I don't know about that guy.
On a mock draft. Again, a guard from Alabama. In this trade,
they
give up their first.
Start instead of Kingsley.
They give up their first, one of their thirds.
Bad pick.
For Baltimore's first and a fourth round from Baltimore. So still five picks that we're going
to
go.
Got to give up a third to move up four spots. That feels like a heavy price, doesn't it?
What was this guy's name again?
Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker, guard from Alabama.
Booker. Huh. Yes, I don't know.
Bad athleticism score. Bad athlete. You know? 6'5", 321 pounds. Guard.
I don't know if there's a comp for Zerline there, but he goes in the first round. So second round, this is where we go defensive.
There is, by the way. I got one for you.
Okay. What is it?
John Simpson.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. He's able to uncoil his lower half, set a sudden anchor in the pocket, has a feel for positioning. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Prototypical size and girth with elite length and massive hands.
Prototypical.
We got to stop with the girth.
I'm just reading the strange Lance Zerline
really likes the word girth.
Yeah. Okay. So round.
So do teams apparently.
So first round, Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama. Round two, Oluwafemi Oladejo, edge rusher from UCLA. They go edge here.
Okay. Nothing against that.
Then round three again, they give up one of their thirds. They give up 95. Not 66. They keep 66.
Their original third round pick.
They keep it from the Titans at 66. Darius Alexander, defensive tackle from Toledo, a guy that's been mocked to go around this range, maybe even as high as the second round as well. So some new names for this Chiefs mock.
Definitely.
And then in the fourth round, two picks, 133, 136. Jalen Travis, offensive tackle from Iowa State.
So they go two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, guard, tackle, edge,
and
tackle on defense.
And running back. Bashol Tootin from Virginia Tech. This dude had a fantastic combine. Guy? Very good. He's a bigger size guy. Ran a 4.32. I think he's like 205, 210 pounds. He's a big dude. Still ran 4.3. Very popular for the combine. Bashol Tootin from Virginia Tech.
Tootin?
There's your running back.
I'm so interested. I'll give this person
all
credit
names,
that it's a little bit
names.
Different. It's a little bit different. He's not just sending out what everybody else
he's
is sending out.
He's doing his own thing, yeah.
I'll be honest. Not a huge fan of the idea of the Chiefs trading up multiple spots to go get a guard. But if they do that, then we can completely end the story on Kingsley Sumateye. If that's in fact what they actually do.
In the first round? Yeah.
It'd be over.
I think
that's
some
also
people,
I don't think they're doing that.
I think some people who are outside of Kansas City are going to be wrong on the mock for the Chiefs at guard specifically in the first round because they don't think the Chiefs are serious about starting Kingsley Sumateye at guard. And I do. I think they are very serious about starting Kingsley. I think if they take a guard, it's more in that third, fourth, fifth, sixth round range. Yeah, of course, where that's not likely the case. I don't think they're doing four trench guys in the first four picks. D-tackle, edge, offensive tackle,
where they got
and
beat.
Guard.
In fairness, that is where they've gotten beat up here in the Super Bowl and in other games at times.
Yeah, I'm not arguing
but
that
I don't,
for sure.
I don't like the idea of trading up. What was it, nine spots?
No, only four spots. Four,
no,
27.
No,
four spots, I'm sorry. Four spots to go get a guard.
You give up 95 and you get 133, essentially, or 136.
Okay. I mean, props for being different. What did Bink say? He texted already.
Binkley's telling me bad news. He says... Harmon, actually, good news, he was agreeing. He said, Harmon is the favorite defensive tackle of the Character Concerns podcast.
Bink likes the peekaboo ability.
So they like the peekaboo ability of Derek Harmon. They're on board with my first draft crush. But he says that they think he's going top 20.
Yeah, I don't.
It's hard to find that peekaboo ability.
I've seen him mock to the Chiefs.
It might be more likely that Nolan is available there than Harmon.
Well, he's okay. I'm not against him, but I don't like as much as Harmon. I was digging into defensive tackles. I was trying to decide the players I like in the draft. Today is 1 month away from today, the NFL draft. Right, it's 30 days away. So like,
that's right.
So I was starting to like. I wanted to start to figure out the running backs I like or the defensive linemen
You watch, you know? You're a NCIS and FBI show guy. Where would you rank your favorite Harmons? Like, where Mark Harmon or this guy? Which one's higher? Who do you think?
I mean, Mark Harmon's high on the list.
I think so. I think Mark Harmon's higher than the defensive lineman.
I would say so in terms of Harmons.
Favorite Harmons.
Now, I mean, if Derek Harmon goes to the Bengals, then maybe we have another story. But as far as I'm concerned, Mark Harmon is the best Harmon.
I think Mark Harmon is the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Loved Mark Harmon in summer school. Big fan of that.
Glenn Zuerlein, man. Is there a comp for Olufemi Oladejo, edge rusher from UCLA?
How do we spell this? Olufemi Oladejo.
Do it phonetically. You'll get it.
I got it. Cool. I got it. Hold on. Give me a second. We'll see if there's an NFL. There is one. It's just loading. Out of UCLA, right? Right, kid?
Correct.
Okay. Give me a second. It's going to take a second. My guess is Zuerlein's got something for us.
Odyssey's got... sketchy internet at best.
Yeah, it's just taking a second. It's we're almost there. All right. No player comp, unfortunately. But let me see if we got anything good here. Nothing too crazy. You know, nothing too crazy here for him. Heavy feet, sluggish change of direction.
I don't know if that sounds like a good... It almost sounds like a project pick.
Explodes with heavy hands into blocker to set a tone.
I think Bishel Tooten is maybe the best pick of this whole mock, actually, in the fourth round.
Yeah?
You get your running back, explosive.
I'll be honest, never heard of that guy in my life. I have no clue who that is.
He was a combine superstar.
Like some of the other running backs I've heard of, I don't know.
Along with Nick Emanwori from South Carolina.
What you should like is that he's fast.
Him and Bishel Tooten are the two people that stood out of very much so.
People just mentioning all their favorite Harmons now.
Well, that's what I was going for, yeah.
Yeah, Dan Harmon got mentioned on Twitch. That's the guy who wrote Community and did other TV shows, you know?
Dan Harmon created SpongeBob, according to the 75.
Really?
Huh. Okay.
I was watching SpongeBob with my kids last night.
Dan Harmon automatically is near or at the top of the list, along with Mark. You know, it might be a 1A, 1B situation.
This guy better have a good football career if he wants to be considered one of the best Harmons ever.
He's got to have a good football career. That's tough, man. It sounds like the Harmon competition's actually kind of thick. I don't know how they're going to be able to hang up.
I wonder. I think it is interesting seeing there are so many mocks because I looked at a couple other ones as well as this one from Chad. Offensive line is just a common thing, to your point, Cody, of I think a lot of national people or people who do these mocks genuinely doubt that the Chiefs are actually going to seriously consider starting Kingsley Suamata at guard.
It's a very serious question to that. Why is that a reach? There are, according to Matt Miller, a draft expert, 3 to 5 tackles in the first round this year who he thinks could move from tackle to guard. Why is a guy taken in the late 60s last year at tackle switching to guard in year two that crazy? Is it because they had elite level? Is it the Tooney to Kingsley part? Like they can't possibly comprehend that they would go from Joe Tooney, the league's best guard, to Kingsley Suamata-ia, an already failed tackle. It's a pretty common transition. Like, I don't know why the national narrative would not include the possibility of that happening. It doesn't seem that nuts.
It might be that or the fact that Kingsley was so bad last year at tackle why would he be considered it for a starter at all?
Because tackles become guards.
I think that's the consensus is what people are thinking.
Probably, yeah. You're probably right. I mean, tackles become guards all the time, though, in the league. I was looking up the running back, Tooten or whatever.
Yeah.
Texline said he fumbles a lot. I looked it up. I will say I don't like this, Drew, for the mock. It says he has fumbled 10 times in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that
put
is
him off
good.
Handy's list then. He hates fumbles. Yeah,
they just, we saw
like
what
just straight up.
We saw
he hates fumbles.
We just well, nobody likes, but yes. I mean,
no, but he's like particularly. Yeah. He'll pull the rug quicker. Look he at pulled Carson, Sean McCoy at, in the Super Bowl year.
Look at Carson Steele. I know he was an undrafted guy, but Carson Steele had an opportunity in the Chargers game due to injuries. and fumbles that, and never then basically again. Never mm-hmm. saw him the rest of the season.
In the middle of their first Super Bowl run with Patrick Mahomes, LeSean McCoy was equally as good, if not better, than Damian Williams. He put up similar stats in the regular season. The second LeSean McCoy couldn't hold on to the ball anymore, Damian Williams was the starting running back for the rest of the season. That was it. So I do have a hard time. Maybe they think, unless they think, you know, whatever. 5 points of contact. How many points of contact is it for running backs? What do they always try to teach them?
I stick to the peekaboo block scheme stuff.
So Zuerlein's
you
comp
know about points of contact.
Very interesting. Zuerlein's comp for Tutin is Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, well,
interesting.
He's 5'9", 206. He ran a 4.3. I mean, for his
size,
that'd
be the 5 points of contact. By the way,
nailed it. I said five.
I think the biggest thing is
for my gut.
For his size, like he's not a big. He's a pretty big dude for how short he is. But for him to run a 4.3. That's where I think people are like, this is like some next level stuff.
Okay.
I mean, he almost runs 4.2 at 206 pounds and he's 5'9". It's actually really impressive.
I didn't realize how many different Harmons there were. Also, I'll say. People mention Angie Harmon. You'd recognize her if you Googled her gold. She's an actress.
Okay.
Don't want to just keep this. You'd recognize. She's like the Rizzoli and Isles show, I think.
Oh, I recognized her. But yeah. She, you know, ironic. You know who she's married to?
No.
As a football tie-in, Jason Sehorn, the former. I mean, we did not expect to go down this rabbit hole.
Full circle.
Yeah, we're back to football.
Married
former,
to Jason
former
Sehorn.
Giant. Yeah, former New York Giant, Jason Sehorn.
Maybe if Derek Harmon has as good of a career as Jason Sehorn, you know,
yeah,
he'll get to move up the Harmon power rankings.
That's right. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Get back into a key injury for the Royals and the latest on Vinny Pasquantino. Next.